Today's scripture lessons all begin with some sort of desolation. Ezekiel is confronted with a valley of dry bones. The psalmist begins with a lament. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. And now the gospel lesson, John 11, 1 through 45, starts with the sickness and then eventual death of Lazarus. In each of these, if we don't keep going, then we miss the light at the end of the tunnel. And that is what I want to explore with you today. The why and how of continuing on when we find ourselves in times of trouble. I'm feeling that right now. Even though I'm an introvert who enjoys solitude, this time of separation is wearing on me. I miss my Sunday school class. Even now I'm thinking about each youth member and their little quirks. I know which one always eats honey buns and which one favors the Little Debbie fudge rounds. Which one has to give me a hug when he arrives, even if he's late and I'm already teaching. The youth who always gets there early to take advantage of the free Wi-Fi, and the one who wants to show me videos on YouTube. And I really miss the confirmation class. Our last session was only week 2, and we were just getting started. For week 2, every member of the class was in attendance along with every mentor. We went on a tour of the church building since the lesson was about the different definitions of the word church. And we even went to the boiler room and the coal room. I remember my surprise when Braden walked up with a 1938 adult student Sunday school book covered in decades of dust. I remember when we all got back to the classroom, how we had an excellent discussion of church as building, including the history of our congregation, church as a group of believers, and church as the body of Christ. The students were engaged and participating. I wonder if we will be able to get that energy back once this period of distancing is over. Will it be like the time I stopped going to the gym after an injury and never got back into the habit? Oh, and I miss the adults too. I miss giving a virtual high five from the choir loft to the 3 balcony dudes. It seems so strange to look there now and not see Rob and Mark and Dad looking back. And I'm completely miserable without choir and choir practice. Even though I don't really read music, and I strongly suspect that my mom pays David to let me be in the choir, I love choir. I may not always know if I'm singing the right note, but I love singing. Last Sunday, when I took Mom to virtual church in front of the computer, I sang along with the hymns. It was really comforting. And whether or not people sang along, I got many messages from people who enjoyed the same worship experience, and I felt reconnected. Right now, a lot of people are feeling like those dry bones that Ezekiel encountered, all disconnected, without breath. It reminds me of a children's sermon I heard about Ezekiel, and I love a good children's sermon. You know, some grown-ups get more out of the kids' message than the main sermon, so here you go. Hear this? Can you identify that sound? One more time. It's a box of mac and cheese. Do you love macaroni and cheese? If you don't, then please seek professional help. I'm sure that if I had the kids in front of me and asked them if they like mac and cheese, I'd get more yeses than nos. So then I'd ask, how many of you would like some of this macaroni as it is right now? And I'd crunch down on a piece of this hard pasta to make my point. But since dentists are all shut down right now, I won't take the chance. Nobody eats macaroni and cheese out of the box. You've got to boil it and then mix it with milk and cheese to make it delicious. So this blue box is missing something. Well, that's like the story of Ezekiel. God took him and showed him a valley filled with dry bones, and they were scattered all around and there was no life in them. God asked Ezekiel, "Can these bones live again?" Ezekiel didn't know what to say. "Oh Lord," he answered, "only you know the answer to that." And then God told him to talk to the bones. He even told him just what to say. "Speak to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Look, I am going to put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. So Ezekiel spoke the message just as God told him. And as he did, there was a rattling noise across the valley, and the bones came together and formed complete skeletons. Then muscles and flesh formed over the bones, and skin covered their bodies. Finally, the winds came and filled the bodies with breath, and they came alive. Listen again to this macaroni. It is dry and hard and not very good at all. It looks like nothing can help it. Nothing good can come of it. But we know better, don't we? We know that if we boil it for 10 minutes and add some milk and some cheese, we will have something very good indeed. Well, that's the way it is when we face something that's very hard in our lives. Sometimes it's hard to think that anything good can happen, that everything is like it was in that valley of dry bones. But just as we know that this macaroni can become very good, we know that the hard things in our life can become a lot better. Just as God brought life to the valley of dry bones with the breath of His Holy Spirit, God can make bad things better in our lives too. And He will, when we trust Him for it. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Now somebody, please take this blue box and make me some lunch. Right now, we feel scattered like those bones and not sure when we will be able to come back together. Let's turn our attention to Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. The psalmist laments. Lament isn't a word we use much anymore. It would be the root of the word lamentations. And it's not because we don't do it. During this past week, I lamented many times, and I complained a bunch of times. There's a difference between lamenting and complaining. Complaining is crying out about God or a problem, and lamenting is crying out to God, seeking resolution. Imagine if you have a broken relationship with a dear friend. What would it look like if you approached them and complained about them? What would it look like instead to go and lament to that person, to earnestly plead for reconciliation? It's a matter of attitude. Now, when you look at Psalm 130, now you hear the pleading and realize that it isn't whining. We don't know what storm the psalmist was facing. Maybe it was the loss of a dear family member or a health crisis. Perhaps the psalmist had lost his only source of income or was feeling alone or his heart had been broken. We know it was a time of darkness that felt endless and unsolvable. And from that pain, he pled, "Help, God. The bottom has fallen out of my life. Master, hear my cry for help. Listen hard, open your ears, listen to my cries for mercy." Now, Psalm 130 gives us a model for lamenting and not just complaining. Think about who the psalmist is trusting with his deep pain. When we complain, it matters not who we complain to, just makes no difference. But lamenting is different. Who we lament to does make a difference. Wouldn't you rather share with someone who understands, who you can trust? The psalmist makes it clear that he knows he can trust God with the deep stuff. I hope we all have someone in our lives that we can lament to, a person that we can be vulnerable with, can share openly with, someone who relates to our suffering. But if not on earth, then we know that we can open up to God. And the psalmist next chooses to recognize who he is talking to, a good model for us to follow. We beg for him to hear us, recognizing that if he kept score like humans keep score, none of us would measure up. Verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 130 illustrate the character of God, and as paraphrased by Eugene Peterson in The Message, if you, God, kept records on wrongdoings, who would stand a chance? As it turns out, forgiveness is your habit, and that's why you're worshipped. Do you believe in that God? The one who isn't up on his throne watching for us to screw up so he could put one more mark on our scorecard, but the God whose habit is forgiveness. Because if you aren't sure about that being the character of God, then it will be hard for you to take everything to him. You have to trust in the loving nature of God, his endless desire to be in real relationship with you, and not when you get everything together and have no flaws, because that's never going to happen. Here's a secret. God loves our flaws. Have you ever heard of kintsugi? Kintsugi, or kintsukori, is centuries old. It is the Japanese art of golden joinery, the art of mending broken pottery with gold, silver, and platinum that actually emphasizes the fractures. Historians believe it dates back to the 1400s. According to legend, the craft commenced when Japanese shogun Ashiga Yoshimasa sent a cracked tea bowl back to China to undergo repairs. Upon its return, Yoshimasa was displeased to find that it had been mended with unsightly metal staples. This motivated craftsmen to find an alternative, an aesthetically pleasing method of repair, and kintsugi was born. Rather than rejoin ceramic pieces with a camouflaged adhesive, the kintsugi technique employs a special tree sap lacquer, dusted with powdered gold or silver or platinum. Once completed, beautiful seams of gold glint in the conspicuous cracks of ceramic wares, giving a one-of-a-kind appearance to each repaired piece. This unique method celebrates each artifact's unique history by emphasizing its fractures and breaks instead of hiding or disguising them. Often the repaired piece is even more beautiful than the original, revitalized with a new look and given second life. God uses the same technique when we are willing to show our cracks and fractures and missing pieces to him. Then the artist who created the universe can give us new life, not hiding our brokenness, but putting it on display for his glory. He can use our messy and damaged parts. We try too hard to only show the best of ourselves. Like when somebody in my house cracked a beloved vase and tried to hide it by turning that side to the back. Unfortunately, the mirror behind it revealed the truth much sooner than was expected. We aren't usually very successful at hiding our flaws, so perhaps we can learn something from kintsugi. Got a past with depression? Sharing that may make it possible for another to get help. Dealt with alcoholism? Maybe someone you know will be able to trust you with their struggles if they're aware. Let God show the ways that he can shine through those cracks. And so this model of lamenting continues. We now know that we can cry out, and we can trust in the loving nature of God. And then what do we find next? The psalmist then promises to wait on the Lord, trusting in that forgiving nature. But waiting isn't easy. I don't like to wait. Sure, it's easier now that we have our phones to distract us. In the fall, I usually go with Mom and Dad to an event up near Stanton, the annual ham, oyster, and turkey dinner at New Hope United Methodist. All you can eat for $20, but the average wait time is about 90 minutes. Now, I was fine until my cell phone battery died, and then I was like a child, fidgeting, wandering, grumpy. I sure did enjoy the dinner when our number was finally called, but the waiting. And that is what we're going through right now, waiting. Waiting to know how this will be treated. How far will it spread? Will it infect the people that we love? How long will it disrupt our lives, our economy, jobs? The uncertainty is hard to cope with. But then we look at verse 7. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord is plenteous redemption, and the Lord will redeem Israel from all iniquities. Watch for God. With God's arrival comes love. With God's arrival comes generous redemption. As I write this, I have just heard from the Virginia Conference that all in-person worship is canceled through April 19th, which includes Holy Week services. And a part of me died a little when I read that. And I decided to challenge myself to approach that setback with the heart of the psalmist who wrote Psalm 130. Lord, I am sorely disappointed. I feel such grief at this news. Listen, I'm seriously struggling. Do you hear what I'm saying? I know you hear me. You're always near, just like you promised. I'm going to have to trust your timing on this. Going to need to continue to wait and do all the things that will keep my loved ones safe. And remember, it's not all about me. While I'm waiting, keep me faithful, even though I'm reeling. Help me to focus on the horizon, the end game, the time to come, when we can all be together again. Easter has always been a movable feast. I'm going to cling to the vision of the first Sunday after the limitations, when we will celebrate the resurrection with a new sense of wonder. We may not be able to see each other on the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox, at least not in person. But after this extended season of Lent, we will certainly be ready. Because with the Lord is steadfast love and generous redemption. Trusting in that helps us to wait. Plus, we have someone to wait with, someone who understands our laments because he spent time on earth pleading with his Father, mostly on our behalf. The shortest verse in the Bible contains the very character of our Savior. John 11:35 ranges from 2 to 4 words, depending on your translation. But whether it says Jesus wept, or and Jesus began weeping, or Jesus cried, or as the NTE says it, Jesus burst into tears, the message is the same. Our Lord and Savior felt human emotion of sadness and despair, and he was moved to tears. And it wasn't the only time. Hebrews reminds us that Jesus cried when he prayed for others. Chapter 5, verse 7 says that in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. The Bible also tells us that Jesus cried when he saw people who were missing out on what God wanted for them. Luke 19 tells us that as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "I wish that even today you would find the way of peace, but now it is too late and peace is hidden from you." And Jesus cried when friends of his were hurting. In today's gospel lesson, we encounter the grief of Martha and Mary. When Jesus arrives, seemingly too late to save Lazarus, he encounters first Martha and then Mary. And each woman says the same thing to Jesus, "If you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died." Jesus sees their grief and the weeping of everyone around them, and he is moved to tears himself. He experiences their sadness with them. His love for them and for Lazarus is real and human. He hurts with them and with us. But just as I said at the very beginning, we can't stop at the valley. We can't stop at the desolation. We can't stop at the tomb because Jesus has more in store. He tells them to roll away the stone and calls Lazarus out. And to the crowd's amazement, the corpse walks out, still wrapped in his burial shroud. And Jesus says, "Unbind him and let him go." Are we bound by our own burial cloths? Are we stuck in the valley, not sure which direction to turn, lamenting in our despair? Then we trust in the Lord's loving nature, knowing that our prayers are heard by the one who loves us and knows our cracks and broken pieces. We wait with our friend Jesus, who cares about our griefs and burdens. I am glad that we have a Savior who weeps too. I'm glad that he loves us so much that he hurts when we are hurting. He feels our pain. Trust in the promise of resurrection. This pause in our normal lives will someday be a memory. We are like those dry bones, all scattered and feeling disconnected. But in God's timing, we will come together. We'll be knit back with muscles and sinew and skin, and then God himself will breathe new life into us. Keep the faith until we are reunited to continue our ministry together. Find ways to make the waiting more tolerable. Listen to music. Take a walk and enjoy the red buds blooming. Call friends on the phone. Read your Bible. Clean out a closet. As Ezekiel 37:12-14 promises, God the Master says, "I'll dig up your graves and bring you out alive, O my people. Then I'll take you straight to the land of Israel. When I dig up graves and bring you out as my people, you'll realize that I am God. I'll breathe my life into you and you'll live. Then I'll lead you straight back to your land and you'll realize that I am God. I've said it, and I'll do it. God's decree. Amen." And now let's take a moment of prayer. Lord, we think of those who are feeling alone and separated. Bring your comfort around them. Lord, we often pray for those who are shut in, who are members of our congregation, and at this time that list would take too long to read. But Lord, reach out to those who need your comforting care. Lord, be with those who are sick in body, those who are despairing in spirit. Lord, be with our church and congregation. Help us to remain connected to each other, engaged in your ministry, and supporting each other. And Lord, help us to look forward to the day when we can come together again and continue your work here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.